Hello and welcome to the Surface Tension Podcast. My name is Alex. My co-host over here is Craig. We are going to be exploring deep questions and looking for deep answers to spiritual questions and questions about life in general. We're happy to have you here, and here we go.
Hi, welcome to our podcast. Alex, I'm going to ask you a question that my wife is not going to appreciate.
That sounds a bit scary. Go on.
Have you ever stepped in dog poo?
Yeah, absolutely. Who hasn't?
Have you ever thought about your shoe in the same way after it had dog poo in it?
What do you mean?
It seems like, and this happened to me recently, for some reason, once you get dog poo in the grooves of your shoe, it feels defiled to the point where it's just not the same and it will never be the same again.
You never heard of a hose?
Yeah. Hose, grass, it doesn't matter what it is. It just, my attitude towards that shoe is forever changed. Would you agree? Do you not have the same experience?
Not at all. Okay. I just kind of blast it with a high pressure nozzle on a hose and then it's good as new. But I'm not a shoe guy, Morris. No, I'm not. I don't really care. Okay. But give it a go. Tell me where you're going with this.
Well, I had a conversation recently with someone who was describing another couple who was having extreme difficulties. They were thinking about getting a divorce. And it made a statement that just kind of really captured me a little bit, and made me pause, made me curious, made me have these wonderful thought track that I want to invite you into, because I have more questions than I have answers. But this couple was not doing well. And he said, you know, we weren't designed to be miserable. So maybe they should be divorced.
Ouch.
And I know that's a common sentiment. And as I was sitting there just thinking about that, I think the words were still echoing through my mind. A question came into my mind. What if misery is solved through addition and not subtraction?
I don't know how this relates to dog poo, but I'm aligned with you.
I'm not sure either, but maybe we'll circle back to that a little bit later.
I'd love to see you synthesize that.
What if misery is solved through addition, not subtraction? It seems like every single time we find ourselves in a miserable circumstance or in a miserable relationship, our solution seems to be subtraction.
Eject.
Right. What if that's not the solution? What if there's an entirely different, beautiful, healthier way to navigate those relationships and circumstances?
Well, we've kind of talked about this many episodes ago, but there was a coordinated push in our culture. It was just canvassed all over social media that the thing to do with quote unquote toxic people was to cut them out of your life. And it required no real self-examination, because typically it takes two to tango, as far as I understand. We're responsible for some of the relational toxicity. If you're in a relationship and you think that it's 100% the other person's problem all the time, that's very rare, if not impossible, I would imagine. There might be edge cases, but I'm with you. I think, especially in marriage, and I don't speak from experience, I've never been married, but there is an element of secular marriages that are just kind of legalistic, go to the courthouse, non-denominational wedding, no scripture cited, neither party believes in God, they don't really understand matrimony as it was designed.
Yeah.
And I think you probably are much more familiar with experiencing couples who come from all sorts of faith backgrounds. But I read an interesting statistic the other day that you know, everybody knows that stat that in the United States now, 50% of marriages end in divorce. In couples that pray for and with each other, the marriage rate is like 93%. So the divorce rate is 7%. And so to speak to your point, that is an additive measure of adding God and Jesus to the relationship, which changes everything.
It does. Yes. Very good. And I don't want to just speak about matrimony in general as much as misery specifically, because every single person listening to this probably has a pain point, an area of misery in their life. It could be a health issue. It could be a spouse, but it could be a child that is either rebellious or wandering. There's all kinds. So what do you think the first and most important thing should be that needs to be added? Once we're in that state of misery, and maybe not, maybe we don't have to order the first and the biggest one. Let's brainstorm what needs to be added, because we just naturally subtract, right? Remove yourself from the situation, remove the other person from the circumstance. If we're just trying to play with the concept of adding, what are we going to add?
A pause to not immediately lean into the impulsive eject. I would add listening. I would add sitting with the feelings, figuring out what it actually feels like. Oh, I'm so frustrated with this person. No, you feel hurt by that person or that situation. You're not angry about it. You're hurt. You're frustrated. Mm-hmm. You're exhausted. Yeah, I think just adding a pause.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
Yeah, I think it's very good. I think it's very healthy.
What would you add to the miserable style situations or relationships?
I'm gonna revisit my shoe, the poo shoe,
okay,
for a second, and say there has to be a change in perspective, because you and I had a very different experience with the same circumstance, right? You added water. Good. All right. We add water, right?
Yeah.
We added a little hope. This can be fine again. You might have to add a stick or possibly a toothbrush, probably not your own, right? Just to make sure
right.
you get in between those grooves. But once that shoe is qualitatively just as good as it was before, if it doesn't seem like the same shoe to me, if it doesn't feel the same, if it somehow feels defiled, my perspective needs to change. The shoe is actually the same. It's probably good. Actually, it may be better than it was before because it got a good washing. But it felt somehow still dirty. And that means I needed a change of perspective about it. There's something that I need in my mind, in my heart, a different way of looking at it. I think the Apostle Paul tried to do the same thing with slaves. In 1 Corinthians 7, he says, if you were a slave when you were called, don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. He was trying to bring a healthy, godly perspective and saying, if you're in misery, if you are a slave, remain in that situation. But you know what? If you can get free, go ahead. Yeah. But the most important thing is that in Jesus, you are no longer a slave. You're a freed person. And if you were free before, now you are Christ's slave. And so he's calling for this shift in thoughts and attitudes and perspective without changing the circumstance necessarily.
Well, I think that's what any good friend or therapist or counselor does for any of us, is asking questions or pointing things out that show us the other side of the coin, so to speak. That's what Jesus does for most things. He flips most things on their heads. It says the way that you naturally look at X is human, but it's not of God.
And I'm picturing someone in our audience right now being in genuine misery and listening to us going, this isn't helpful. I'm in misery. You want me to just have a change of attitude about it? You want me to take a hose to my misery? This isn't helping. What is truly helpful to the person who is in misery? The person who is grieving, the person who has built something that has been destroyed, the someone who created something that has been taken away from them. Let me give you a hard example. I talked to someone the other day, one of my pastor friends. He needs to do a funeral this weekend for a child.
Mm.
And he was uncertain, grieving. What do we say at the funeral of a child? Misery has come to those parents, grandparents, family members. There's a lot of silence. In God's world, what needs to be added there?
You're going to have to answer your own question because I'm just caught off guard by this situation. You're describing like one of the saddest things imaginable. And hopefully you've had more time to think about this than I have, but I'd probably need to sit with this for a second, maybe a couple minutes to really collect my thoughts. What needs to be added in your experience, or what kind of advice did you give this pastor friend, or what kind of questions did you ask your pastor friend to flip the coin and say, hey, here's the other side of it?
Yeah. The first thing I tried to communicate to him was, don't feel like you need to be a superhero and say something that's going to make the pain go away, because we can't, we won't, that's not your role. Let me take away the burden on your shoulders of somehow being so magnificent with your words that they walk out of there going, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And I don't hurt anymore. Or I don't hurt as much anymore. That's not our role. And that may not even be possible.
Well, you've talked about that before, both off the podcast and on, is that we have expectations of people to perform things that they're not designed to do. And that always sets us up for failure, no matter what it is, whether it's relational or situational. We have these expectations that somehow things are going to go in a way that they aren't designed to, and we're trying to get needs met by people or things that they simply can't deliver on.
Yeah.
So now that this guy doesn't have to feel like a superhero,
yes,
what does he do?
My encouragement to him was just to somehow try to bring Christ's presence there. John Claudel has a very powerful quote that I shared with him. Jesus did not come to remove or explain away suffering. He came to fill it with his presence. Jesus didn't come to remove or explain away suffering. He came to fill it with his presence. And I shared that with him, and he said, I'm going to take an issue with that. And I'm like, oh, please do.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. And he said, he did. Jesus did come to remove and explain away suffering, but just not now. Just not now. He came to be the final end of pain and suffering, of evil, of sin. He came to destroy that, and that he did. We just haven't seen the final consummation of that until we get to the next life. I gave him a little mini golf clap. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, not bad.
Very good. And I love to have people around me correct or challenge. I'm like, yes, wonderful, because that allows us to get to something healthier. That's why Jesus came. He came to bring his presence. And when he was on the cross, he didn't say, hey, I'm saving all you fools. He didn't say, hey, I love all of you. He demonstrated love, and he was demonstrating the act of saving us. Just his presence, what he was doing, was bringing healing.
So do you tell somebody who's miserable, like, think about heaven, think about eternity? Is that what we're...
I don't think so. Again, the counsel I was trying to give him, as vague as it might be, is to help them have an experience of God's love and his presence.
That sounds so tough. I'm just kind of self-inserting into this story, trying to do my best.
So
imaginary, I am the parent of yes. this child. And I don't know how to invite Jesus into that moment and stay with him. I think mentally I get what you're saying, but experientially, that sounds so tough. That sounds really tough.
And I think it's something you do all the time for people. When someone is hurting, what do? You listen. If someone is hurting so badly that they're quiet, what do? You sit with them and they're quiet. You put your hand on their knee or put your arm around them and you're just with them. And by being with them, you're declaring with your presence, your behavior, their experience of you, things that cannot be communicated with just mere words. I love you. I'm here for you. If we hear those words, all of a sudden our mind's engaged and we're starting to argue, well, are you? What does it really mean to be here with you and love you? But if someone is really just there with you and loving you and just bringing a loving presence, a supportive, I'm here, we're together.
So misery is overcome by presence.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very good. It somehow seems to take the sting out when we know someone is with us and we are loved. We're accepted. We're given permission to be in our pain. Someone doesn't try to say, hey, you know what? We're God closes a door. He opens up a window. We don't hear platitudes. We don't hear things that are going to cause more angst in our soul. If we experience the presence of someone who genuinely loves us and who's for us and who's with us and who's not going to leave us, that misery starts to change a little bit.
I agree with you about the quiet element of it too. As soon as somebody starts talking, we either build a case against what they're saying, or we put too much weight on what they're saying. That's an interesting point. I think it's very true. But trying to speed up a situation and fix it with the right words rarely works, if ever, right?
Oh, it does not work.
We want to say the right thing.
We do.
We always want to say the right thing.
We do. But most of the time we want someone else to stop being in a state of misery because it's making us miserable. Very selfish motive sometimes from wanting to make the people around us happy.
Mm-hmm. This is an interesting one to sit with. I know a lot of miserable people. I am sometimes one of those people, unfortunately. You can experience deep sorrow and sadness. We're no strangers to it. But it's interesting how you deal with it and I deal with it and many people deal with it. They spend time by themselves. They don't reach out. They don't talk. They don't want to be a burden. But they're not calling Jesus either. They're not asking Jesus to hang out. You're better at that than most people that I know. But when I'm really going through it, I'm not looking for good advice. I'm just looking for, I do not want to feel this way anymore, therefore I isolate. And it's not even a conscious process. It's not as though I have a conversation with myself. I am going to stay at home and stare at a wall and be a bummer and not reach out to anybody. And just, it's not as though I'm even thinking about anything. It's just kind of this gray area of purgatory, which somehow feels more comfortable than admitting that I'm miserable or trying to fix it or inviting Jesus in to fix it. If you're listening to this and you're unfamiliar with this space, I apologize, but unfortunately, I think many of you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And isn't that interesting how we want Jesus to just come in and fix it? That's our request, right? I'm miserable. Come take my misery away. If the Father would have taken Jesus' misery away, we wouldn't be here. There was a purpose for that. A God purpose, a God story that included some misery in order to get to a different kind of rest, a promised land.
That's tough to sit with suffering, knowing that God has a way of using it that we can't see. But it's not our job to see it. But we spend a lot of time trying to figure it out, don't we? Rather than just sitting with Jesus.
We sure do. That's why one of my most frequent prayers recently has been, God, help me to be reminded of your goodness and help me to be convinced that you are writing a good story here. I think those are the two of the chinks in my armor, if you will, throughout my entire life. When something has gone south, I've questioned God's goodness. You can't be good and allow this to happen.
Well, our standard of good is feels good, right?
Yes, exactly. And I've also questioned the story that he's writing because I want him to write the story that I want him to write. One with no twists and turns, just really smooth, soft, happy, happy all the time. And apparently that's not the story he wants to write for me or for you, nor is it the story that is best for us. Why is it so difficult to embrace God's best story for us? Why is it so difficult for us to follow a storyline, a narrative from the person who made us and sent his son to die for us? he's writing a storyline for us, and we're like, I don't want that one. I'd rather have the Chuck E. Cheese storyline.
Or the superhero movie.
Yes.
I mean, we're so just steeped in hero fantasies through media. And the hero's journey is always just rushed through in a montage, the training montage. There's the fall, there's the rise, and it happens all in 2 hours. Or if you're watching a series,
yes,
TV series, each season has that triumphant moment, and it's really an expedited process, but it's totally warped our sense of time.
Yes.
Not just in a human way, but it brings us even farther from our understanding of God time.
Yes.
Which we already struggled to appreciate and will always struggle to appreciate. But before we had digital media everywhere, we struggled to understand God's timing. Now we have this expectation of utter heroics, plot twists right around the corner. What if a big part of your story is being not in the most happy lane for a decade? That sounds nuts. That sounds terrible. I don't want to sit with that. What if God has plans for you after a decade of struggle city? How do I get through a decade with Jesus? Does that mean it's going to be fun? Does that mean it's going to be joyous? There will be moments of joy peppered in. But life isn't a movie. It's not a TikTok video. It's not, oh gosh.
Can I pause and celebrate the audience that is still listening right now?
Yeah, of course.
Because this isn't popular. This isn't necessarily something that we want to hear about. Sometimes we start here, oh, misery, oh, loss, grieving. Ah, no thanks. Change the channel, right? I want to listen to something happy, happy, happier, and something that's going to promise that superhero movie with a happy resolution in 2 hours. That's what we want. What a little soundbite resolutions. Instead of learning how to sit in a God story that might be difficult and may be challenging, where he may want to add something, us to learn how to add something to misery instead of just subtracting it. Instead of just getting rid of things, he wants us to add some things, maybe some people. Paul was in prison. He had people visit him. He had people stay with him. He sent with them letters to churches. He may have been in a state of misery, but he added some purpose with writing, and he added purpose with being with others and sending them to deliver these letters to churches.
Nobody has a good story that's conflict-free. Jesus doesn't die on the cross. We're not talking about him. I know some wealthy individuals come from that trust fund cloth. I've never met more dysfunctional people in my entire life. I love them, but they've really struggled, because they have the means to get out of any situation imaginable, push things to the side, go feel good, cocaine, strip clubs, buy a car, go on an expensive trip. They've got major band-aids to cover wounds. But eventually they find misery, or misery finds them, and then they don't know what to do with it. Yeah. But misery finds all of us if we're,
yes,
being honest with the human condition. There are things that bring us great sorrow.
Yes.
There really are. But that's something to look forward to and actually celebrate the suffering in some capacity. If you have the ability to stay with Jesus and learn the lessons and listen to the story that he's telling rather than the one that you're telling yourself, or that other people are telling you, often through the lens of Western psychology, oh, we need to fix you immediately. We need to medicate you. You need to go to therapy. Oh, you need to get out of that relationship immediately. Oh, you need to eject from that job. You need to do X, Y, Z, and the like. It all goes back to faith and trust. It really does. And that's not an easy... Faith and trust aren't easy. We can say that I know what it is, but writing it out is a different beast entirely.
Yeah.
You're writing something down. What is it?
Well, my mind keeps drifting back to the poo on the shoe.
Great. Well,
and the question you would love to ask is, well, what would Jesus think about the poo on my shoe? Because once that shoe is clean, he's going to be like, hey, let's walk. We got things to do, right? And I'm forgive me, but I'm still trying to figure out, why am I so impacted by that? Why do I never think about that shoe again? Why do I never want to wear that shoe again? And it's because of the meaning I have assigned to that moment. A meaning that needs to be challenged. I think for some reason, the poo on the shoe makes me less than. I shouldn't have done that. I stepped in it, and oh my word, now then. And boy, what if other people hear that? And what if, and
I don't think that's how you react to it, to be honest with you. If I know you like I do, I would imagine that if you were having kind of a mundane day or kind of a bummer of a day, you were getting a lot of bad news, and you stepped in dog poo, you'd be like, oh, I just can't get a win. Like, what's the deal? Like, this stinks. I don't know if you would personalize it and be like, oh, well, this is a sign. This in particular is a sign of whatever. I think it would be a frustration that would build into a story of like, why does bad stuff keep happening to me?
Yeah.
This is just another step along my journey of this not working. I think what it would do is it would make you think of other bad things that had happened to you.
Yep.
That would compound into another story. And then all of a sudden that story would gain more weight. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. That's what I was trying to say. And so you just said it better. It's a meaning that I was assigning to that moment that was a reflection of my competency, my lovability, my worth, my efficacy. When am I ever going to feel like enough? Ah, oh, see, I'm not. Someone who's really valuable keeps their shoes free of poo at all times. It's like, what is that? What is that?
Oh, man.
Oh. So let's try to put the cookies on the bottom shelf and say, we explored a very difficult space here, trying to say, we're going to try to add something to misery instead of subtract something. I loved what you said about the difference between, and I actually know there's a book written out right now by a screenwriter in Hollywood, and he's done the comparison between this Hollywood version of a story and a literary version. The literary version of stories is very different. Longer twists and turns,
mm-hmm.
with more ambiguous ends instead of nice, tidy bows of success and feel good stories. My family and I watched a movie recently, but my daughter had read the book and she's like, wow, this ending was so different than the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the book, he just left, he just went away, and we didn't know what happened to him. And they had to tie the bow in the movie. And it's so interesting because the life that we're living right now is more like a literary story than it is a movie. There are longer plot developments,
mm-hmm.
over longer periods of time. That's what we see in the Bible. God saying, I'm going to make myself known through the nation of Israel. That wasn't something that happened in 2 hours, 2 weeks, or 2 months.
40 years in the desert.
Wow. Long plot development. with a God who's writing a story that's far-reaching, has far-reaching impact. But what else would you add to the cookies on the bottom shelf? So I like that. I really like that. Misery needs to add some perspective of the story.
Man, I don't know how to summarize this into beautiful nuggets. I feel like we've touched upon a lot of things. I kind of want to just go back to the beginning and just say, add a pause and allow Jesus, just with his presence. You don't need a dialogue necessarily. In fact, that might make things trickier. But I think that was one of the big takeaways that I will walk away from this episode with. Is conflicts, and you've said this before, we don't think our way through conflicts. And we can't author our own God story. Those will be my nugget takeaways from this.
Thank you. And I do like resetting the importance of just bringing Jesus' presence into a moment, whether it's us in a misery at a small level, or not processing well, or whether we are trying to bring Jesus' presence into the life of someone else, just being with them, listening to them, caring for them, communicating love, maybe without even using words, is so powerful. So thank you for joining me on this foray into a very difficult topic. And I want to thank you again as listening to this podcast. I want to encourage you, celebrate the courage you have to even just listen and lean into some challenging space here. And so good for you listening and leaning in. And we would love to hear what questions came up in your mind. They can email us, right? They can send us questions. Boy, you were listening and I would have loved for you guys to have wrestled with this question. Where do people need to send an email to?
info@surfacetensionpodcast.com, info@surfacetensionpodcast.com.
Thank you. And I also want to thank Go Ministry International and The Walk that has sponsored this podcast. They've been sponsors of ours for quite some time, and we are so grateful for them. Gratitude sometimes is something we need to add to misery, right?
Totally.
Just, we get miserable, we get so hyper-focused on the pain, we miss the beauty, right? We focus on the thorn instead of the rose. And being able to pause and say, what am I thankful for? Happened to me the other day. I was having a crabby day, and I told my wife, I missed my 10 things. Every morning, I try to start off with listing 10 things I'm grateful for every single day. And I'm like, I think I'm crabby. I missed my 10 thankful things. And so I tried immediately to express some things I was thankful for. It does impact misery in the way that we process that. So thank you again to Go Ministry International and The Walk for sponsoring this. We hope you enjoyed this, learned something from it, had something stirred that moves you closer to the heart of God and closer to the people around you. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.